Hello.
Oh, hi, Merlin. How are you?
Oh, hello, Dan. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I complain constantly, but no one would care. No one would listen.
I can never decide. I'm on the bubble about complaining.
About whether complaining is a valid form of expression.
No. People should, you know, you do you. I do.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, you know, it's hard to know when it's useful. But, you know, I think there's a kind of therapeutic complaining that you can do with your pals, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get as angry as you want to get.
I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm last night with my wife, which is always a mistake because she doesn't understand that not only am I Larry David, but everyone is Larry David. And she's always like, why don't they just leave a note? Or why don't they just talk? Or why doesn't he just eat what they gave him? And I'm like, you've not accepted your Larry David nature yet.
Right.
Because the thing you know about Larry David is, like everyone, he has his reasons. And like everyone, he thinks he's proving an important point. Do you know what I mean?
Regardless of how significant that point actually really is.
But isn't that, I mean, I kind of already spoiled the bit by revealing this, but I mean, if I were going to do this in like the Socratic way, I'd say, is it not true that Larry David always has like what he considers a good reason?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes, of course. You know, Socrates, yes. And like, doesn't he always feel like he has his reasons? And like that point is an important point and it needs to be made.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So like I love the season. I forget which season's which. I jump around, but I love the season. I just watched the episode where they go golfing and it's him, Jeff Funkhauser, and Richard Kind. And they're going to be behind these guys who golf really slowly.
Yeah.
And then Richard Kind orders a complicated breakfast that takes a long time. And then they get stuck behind these slow golfers. And, you know, but there's always like three different things that tend to come together in a good Curb Your Enthusiasm. And a minor one that becomes important is Larry's decided he's had it with when they hand you the bill and there's an 18% gratuity included. But, you know, you can add more if you want. And I said to Madeline, you know, be honest. Like, I like to think I'm a pretty good tipper, but I'm kind of a little burned out on the whole, like, we've already added this to the thing. I mean, make it like France. Just print it on the bill. Just say it costs you $1 to sit down and it costs you $5 for service or whatever. You know what I mean? But like this whole like creeping 18% title is like, it's kind of frustrating. And Larry, of course, announces, that's it, I'm done. It's just I usually leave a little bit more. And the waiter's like, was anything wrong with the service, sir? He's like, no, I'm just, it's a protest against the 18%, you know? And of course that comes back to bite him. Now, I happen to agree with that, but I also, like everybody in Larry's world, continue to go on adding on top of that. I don't know how much to tip on Instacart. I'm so confused about who gets what money. And I usually tip never less than 10, usually 20. If it's a small amount, it's 20%. If it's a large amount, it's 10%.
Sure.
Because like if I bought an iPod, like I'm not going to give you 20% of that for bringing me an iPod. Whereas this guy who's over here, like bringing me like 6 12 packs of seltzer, worked their butt off and it's raining anyways. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that makes that show so wonderful is that we're all like him and we all have our reasons. And we all think there's an important point on principle that needs, everybody I know is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you like that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't they just talk about it? So that's me. I watch a lot of TV. How you been, Dan? It's been a while. What's going on?
It's been a little while. I've been good, been busy, been, as they used to say, as Bachman, Turner and Overdrive used to say, just taking care of business.
I thought you were talking about Eric Bachman.
The Bachman books?
Yes, of Aviato.
Yeah.
His incubator, as he calls it.
I've just been working really hard on effective travel, on optimizing
that topic, Dan.
Yeah, it could be a topic on just little fiddly.
Is this just so I know and so our listeners know, is this going to be you talking about things that help you travel or is it going to be you complaining about people who don't get the line right?
No.
That's very Larry David. There's one where he's trying to buy Cheryl perfume so that he can have intercourse with her and he's very upset about the line. I get upset about line and I agree with Larry. One line, make it like Disneyland. Don't have two lines. That's not fair.
What I can tell you is that Americans, from my limited experience traveling to a couple of other countries, I can tell you that Americans are really, really, really anti following any kind of effective guidance when it comes to, I wasn't going to talk about this, but
no. This is a very interesting and true topic to me. And I think it says a lot about who we are as people. Honestly, continue.
Yeah. It's Americans don't seem to want to like line up or follow any kind of guidance or, you know, like for me, if I'm getting in line somewhere, if I'm boarding a plane, let's say, I very, very much want to be as efficient as possible. I want to have all, you know, I want to have all my crap together.
You're not, if you're in group two, you're not jamming up there right up to the rail.
No,
I hate that. I hate that.
I'm waiting. They're going to say group two, please
come to blows on two occasions with some guy who boards after me. Not that it matters. And me going, hey, look, dude, this isn't your group. And like, you're not in first class. If you're in first class, you'd already be seated.
Yeah, you'd be on there drinking champagne.
Everybody's mad.
And the thing, here's the thing. There are two kinds of travelers, and this is going to sound really obvious, but it's true. The first kind of traveler is someone who travels very infrequently. And the second kind is someone who travels relatively frequently. And there is almost no one in between. There are very few people who travel a little bit more than never.
That might be true, but that doesn't mean everybody who travels a lot is good at travel.
No, it doesn't. But there are certain,
some of them are the worst. It's those guys that are jamming up there with their little laptop bag, acting like they're in the Commodore's Club.
Yes, you know, you're right. You were right about that. And I would even say that would be like two subtypes of those who travel frequently. But I think But of the people who travel frequently, there are two kinds. One is the kind you're talking about, where they're trying to like, they feel like they're gaming the system. They know what to, well, if I
they've
get up
some,
there,
they've
right.
read some websites.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know stuff. Yeah.
If I get up there right at this certain point and I'm doing this and I'm looking distracted, then I can sneak into the group that was right ahead of mine with four of the other guys and the thing. Okay. So there's the other person who I like to think I'm in this group, which is I've done this so much that it just doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. The seat that I'm in, it doesn't really matter that much.
It's just a fart tube for getting information.
Yeah, it's all here's a secret, Merlin, and for our listeners, I'll let them listen in on this too. All of the seats are bad. Mm-hmm. All of them. The first class seats, they're okay, but all the rest of them are equally bad.
How few rich people have a first class seat at their house that they sit in?
You know,
like it's good for what it is, but I mean, it's basically like advanced cattle trains.
Yeah. Like if you want to get down to it, you can say, well, you know, like don't sit over the wing because then you don't have a view. I don't want a view. I'm in the aisle. I don't care. Oh, well, don't, if you're tall. Okay. Now that's a whole different thing. If you're tall, if you're like Roderick height, then yeah, the seats, they're all bad except maybe the exit row. But there's compromises with the exit row that people don't tell you about. For example, those seats don't recline. Well, good. None of the seats should recline anyway. That's beside the point.
They should spot weld every single one of those seats.
Seriously. The second thing is, yeah, you're going to get more leg room, but you get more leg room at the expense of, in many cases, not having anywhere to put your carry-on, you know, your personal item bag in front of you. Yep. The seat has a fold-out tray, which may or may not be something that you like. There's just things that you need to pay attention to, and it's not automatically better. In fact, on most of the flights that I've been on, the exit row seats are much less padded and much less comfortable.
It depends on the flight. I mean, if you're in a...
And colder.
If you're in a flight, on a flight that's on, like, you know, this is excluding what people call puddle jumpers, is like, you know, two seats on one side, one, it's like a tiny bus. Excluding those, if you're on a short flight, the exit row can be great. It can be great.
Yeah.
Like it, cause, but for longer flights, we should, if it means a lot to you and you consider it a medical requirement, you should upgrade to the, you know, economy plus or whatever, right, at least.
And
but,
I mean,
yeah, I feel you.
You know, the thing about that is like, if you have a real need to have some kind of special specific seat, then unfortunately you're going to have to prioritize that. And that means you're going to have to spend more money and do more planning about it. You know, and I think I like as I don't want that to sound like callous or something, but like if it matters that much to you, then it prioritize it, you know.
But like you don't, in the same way as like you don't get a seat on the bus that you claim one time and then you always get it like going forward, let alone on that trip. But you know, it's you're not guaranteed anything, but the implied contract is we're going to give you a place for your ass to go while we hopefully take you safely from here to there. And everything else is gravy in a lot of ways.
The whole thing is like I understand there's a concern, and the reason that people think that they want to board sooner, I think, and I'm not talking about Southwest, I'll talk about that separate, but if you have an assigned seat, the reason I think people want to board first is because they feel like something could happen where they're like not going to get on there. Like something is going to happen. It's not going to get on.
You don't think it's for luggage reasons?
Well, I think that's a secondary reason, but that's
now,
only...
Now that it costs money usually to check bags, people bring extraordinary things onto planes, sometimes get away with actually carrying it down the aisle.
Yeah.
And there's simply not enough space for every person to do that.
There really is.
It was never intended to be for that. And honestly, the airlines should know better. This is why my trick for this, and you hear this a million places, is hell yeah, you can gate check my bag. Are you kidding me? Like, why would you not gate check your bag? Because they always ask. I always say, yes, please. You can happily gate check. You're going to get it. This takes the same amount of time to get your bag later. And now you don't have to like jam it up there.
Yeah,
are you afraid your Yadros are going to break or something? Like, what's in?
Yeah, I don't know. I think people are very worried about being separated from their stuff, which is, I mean, if you've heard stories of bags getting checked and never seeing them again and that kind of thing, like I think that's a valid concern. But
it's money. I think it's people don't want to spend 15, 30, whatever it is.
Yeah, you're right.
And I understand that as well, but like something's got to give.
Yeah.
It's not making people nicer.
No. But I think what it really, there's a big part of it that is what you're saying, that they're worried about being separated from it. But for people who don't, you know, for people who don't fly often, like for me, I can do, and this is more what I was thinking about talking about, because we talked about this before. And whenever I talk about it, people will message me and say that they want more.
I don't believe that.
It's true. Okay. It's one of the few true things in the world.
Okay.
But
I have before you go into an extended 40-minute rant about how people can't fly, I would like to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know you're not, but you will. But I don't want to say it now, but I just want to say before, I'm happy to hand off to you, but there is one more observation I would like to make about humanity, but continue.
No, make it. I want to hear it.
There's something I realized about myself a while back, a few years ago, that I'm not happy about, I'm not proud of.
Yeah.
But for me to act like it's not true is dishonest.
Okay.
And that is, I despise being inconvenienced. It depends on a lot, I guess, on how you define that, but just writ large, like I hate being inconvenienced.
Sure.
And that sounds petty, but I'm being honest. And I think most people, if they were being honest, they would admit that inconvenience and boredom are the banes of their existence. Mm. The two things that people can't stand are boredom and inconvenience, because in each instance, the plan you had in your head isn't working out. So, you know, rather than let go of the plan in your head, we cleave ourselves to this idea of like, well, you know, I need to talk to your boss and like there's all these things and I need a medical chair to sit in and like, you know, you go crazy about this stuff, but no. But the thing is, I'm putting that out there and I'm being vulnerable and honest about that. And if you guys want to continue to secretly not admit that you despise being inconvenienced too, that's okay. But I think this point is still useful. And one thing also just to follow up, because this is related to what you said. For me, like I say, I generally check a bag if it's a big thing or has stuff I can't bring on, or especially if like, you know, with the family and stuff back in the day when we had a baby and all the stuff, like I don't care.
That changes everything.
That's ludicrous. But, but I think for me, it's that I have so much anxiety, not about flying, but about just the whole process of, from the moment I know I have to go somewhere to the moment I get back, I'm a little on edge.
Sure.
And for me, the big one is getting through TSA. Once I'm putting my clothes back on, I feel a lot of relief. But the biggest relief is like once I'm in the seat, because now you were getting to what you just said a minute ago, which is who knows what'll happen. Like you might get bumped. You might get, you know, who knows? All that stuff can happen. For me, it's not so much the like, I worry about what I'm going to miss out on or something. It's just more that I want to get us all in place and be done. That was the only thing. But the inconvenience thing, I think, is a really big deal for more people than would like to admit it. And what do I mean by inconvenience? It can mean lots of things. But if you take that toxic dyad of boredom and inconvenience, think about how much of one's life our bad behavior or being the person whom we we're not, whom we don't want to be, rather than the person we'd like to be. Like, that often comes out of boredom and inconvenience. When you're bored, you do weird stuff.
You do.
When you're inconvenienced, you get weird.
You get, I mean, and it brings it brings out the worst in everybody. And, you know, like, but my message for people who are listening to this is, you know, there is a system. The airlines have a system, and it's easier.
Can't fight City Hall.
And lower friction to just go along with it. If, you know what, if you're in group C, if you're boarding Southwest and you're C25, you know what? You're going to be, you know, just get on the plane. Just get on the plane. Yeah. There will be a seat. Now, I understand if you're traveling with your special person, or you've got your kids or whatever, like that's different, but there are ways to fix this.
It's not that different. You must understand, this is the problem. You must understand that, like Larry David, everybody has their reasons.
Right.
And just because you seek to understand people's reasons does not mean you have to like them or accept them
or agree with them. Around,
like, you're the only, like, one, like, your one self is the only person with valid reasons. That everybody else is an idiot who hasn't thought anything through, and you're a genius who has it all figured out. What a terrible way to act. Like, it's just that, yes. That's not adult behavior.
No. And I'll tell you what, I have a little mantra that I used to use when I was first adjusting from rarely ever traveling to traveling frequently. And the mantra goes like this. You just say this to yourself, and any time that you feel a little frustrated, or that, like, things aren't working out, or you should have got this, or should have got, you just repeat this over and over again to yourself. I'm not special. And that will help, because the thing is this, when it comes to airline travel, you are not special. And you know how you know that you are special? You bought first class tickets. Then you are special. But if
you're a little more special, but you're still subject. You're
still not very special.
Yeah. I just want to say the last thing, and then I'm totally done. Okay. I wanted to tie this in with something I then observed in the last couple of weeks. And this is, again, Captain Obvious is reporting to the scene of the crime. I realized something about the 45th president that relates. Well, no, because, well, seriously, though, like, this is the thing. Like, so what I'm trying to say, the big point I'm trying to make is, the huge point that I always want to make is, everybody has their reasons.
Right.
You don't have to like them.
Right.
It's good to be aware that everyone has them. You don't talk people out of things by trying to make them more like you. Believe it or not, that doesn't work. What I do know is that the inconvenience and boredom thing, those that the dyad, comes, like I said, it comes out of, like, I have a plan for how this is going to go, or I have a way that I'd like it to go. But let's just even speak more strictly about this. I have a plan for this. And everything that takes me off of that plan, even if that plan is the time I arrive early at the airport, even if I still arrive early, but it's not as early as I hoped, that's a ding on your plan. Mm-hmm. And that's an inconvenience. And now those are starting to accumulate. I had this realization with all the various appeals and lawsuits the 45th president is making.
Yes.
Is that, like, he has his reasons. And one of those reasons is he thinks he should get to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it in the way that he wants.
Right.
And I don't mean this politically. I mean this, that we're all like this. He's just super like this. Those things where you and I take, you know, the slings and arrows of outrageous inconvenience, like, boy, he takes that to the max, where he has an idea. Everybody, everything, every judge, jury, prosecutor, every single person who's saying, pump your brakes, guy, we need to do this thing. He's so inconvenienced. He may not be bored by it per se, but he's extremely inconvenienced by
it. Yeah, sure.
It's everything that keeps him from not being in the White House in January of 2021, which, you know, he doesn't have a time machine that I know of. His pores would probably look smaller if he had, you know, the proper. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, like, look to that man. When you see how that man is behaving and continues to behave, like, he's always behaved, like, everything that happens is an inconvenience to what his plan is. And the plan exists because he has his reasons. And don't for a minute act like you're any different. Any of you, including me, we all have a plan. We all hate being inconvenienced. And every single person, that person at the rental car counter who you just met 2 minutes ago, who's now your enemy, like, I get super mad when people are, like, seeming incompetent or unkind, whether that's to me or other people. But we've all done that. We've all, like, yelled at people at, like, checking into a hotel because they screwed up your thing. You ever pay for first class and get bumped? That's a bummer. like especially when you pay for it or you use points for it. And then of course there's all kind of, I'm still at the bottom of the flying pole, no matter what. I could get bumped from anything at any time. And like I had planned this trip because that's when there was this particular business class seat available that I could afford. And now I don't get it. And I'm going to miss that next flight. And it just cascades and cascades. Well, I feel that very personally. Mm-hmm. I feel that very. And but I'm also willing to admit, you said the thing about I'm not special, which is true. The other thing is that my inconvenience is not the end of the world. And really, it just belies poor thinking, erroneous thinking, toxic thinking on my part, that everything should go the way that I want to get me where I want to go, when I want, how I want. And anybody who gets in my way needs to be destroyed. So that's what I wanted to bring together. Now y'all are going to hear that and go, oh, silly. I'm not anything like 45. I'm a good person, or even I'm a bad person, but I'm not that bad of a person. Well, do you even really know? Because you're so cleft to your idea of who's in your way.
Right.
And like, just remember, he feels the same way and he's got his reasons. Back to you, Dan.
No, I mean, I think that everything you just said is true. And it brings out kind of the worst in people in a lot of ways.
Nobody's protecting you. Nobody's helping you. Not in life, in adulthood, you do not have a project manager.
No.
You do not have a mom.
Right.
You do not have a den mother.
No.
There's not anybody. The thing I used to say when I was Merlin Mann is like one problem, one of the numerous challenges anyway of knowledge work is that the people who want things or need things from you inside of the organization are not having frequent meetings about how you're doing and whether you're happy and whether you need to have resource leveling done to like help your quality of life. You have to do all of that. And you do in some ways, don't say this to your boss, but you do have to fight for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to at least stand up for yourself and you have to know when to walk away from things. And the trouble is, if somebody died and you or it's a wedding, a funeral, whatever, and you need to get there, there's times where you just have to put all of that aside because the inconveniences between you and that dead body mean a lot to somebody. And you can't really walk away from that. And that's sometimes just how adulthood is. And it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell people how to travel, Dan. What do we do?
Well,
some hot tips.
Actually, let me tell you about some I like first. You get your bell ready? You know, ready to ring it?
Sure. I mean, I don't really take requests, but
okay. This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a really cool service. I was thinking when we've had them as a sponsor one other time, and I was really thinking about it because this is something that is so convenient. It's really, really cool. One of the I think common misconceptions that people have is that life is supposed to be easy. That things are just supposed to, just happen and go your way. Maybe you want to travel and you can't get on the flight or whatever it is. And like all of these things cause us to feel a lot of different ways. And I mean, it's especially true in relationships, and BetterHelp, they're a company that helps you out with therapy. And therapy has like been one of the most transformative, helpful, beneficial things that I've ever experienced in my life. I've been to therapy a handful of different times. And usually, people are thinking, something terrible happens and you go to therapy. Well, that's true. And like therapy is there to help you through those times, but day-to-day stuff can be kind of difficult too. And that might be, there's a problem at your workplace. It might be that you just don't feel engaged in the world the way you used to. I mean, there's a million different reasons why. And people usually have that association like, oh, you just go to therapy if something bad happens. Well, you can go just to talk to someone, to have someone provide a perspective on the decisions that you want to make in your life or the things that you're struggling with in a day-to-day. There, nothing big has happened, but life can still be challenging. And that's really, that's what BetterHelp is here for. There's this common misconception that like relationships are going to be easy if they're right. Like that's maybe not true. Maybe you want to talk to somebody about it. I've just benefited so much from therapy, talk therapy, and there are just so many benefits of it. And if you've ever thought about this, if you've ever thought maybe therapy would be something I want to try, but like, how do I find a person? Can I go in there? Can it be remote? All of that. That's one of the coolest things about BetterHelp is it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule. You go there, you fill out a brief questionnaire. It'll match you with a licensed therapist. you can also switch therapists at any time. There's no charge for that. And that's the weirdest, like, if you've ever gone to like a therapist and you're like, they're great, but just like, this is not clicking. It's just not for me. Well, like, then you gotta like, how do I do that? How do I switch? They make that so easy to do. So, you know, this is the thing. It's like, you know, it's like Valentine's Day coming up. Maybe you want to become your own soulmate. Like, try it, you know.
I'll buy my wife flowers right this second.
Right now.
Farm Girl flowers. They're usually out, but yeah, it's difficult.
Well, anyway, buy your wife some flowers, become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. You go to betterhelp.com, betterhelp.com/BTW. You're going to go there. You'll get 10% off your first month. And that's betterhelp, HELP.com/BTW. Thanks very much to BetterHelp for making the show possible.
That's BetterHelp. Buck, buck.
Cool service.
Yeah. So, you know, being able to buy flowers online is nice too. I found out my wife doesn't really like the flowers that from the place I usually get them.
Oh.
I got some inside intel.
Oh, the kid?
You know,
the kid?
You know, mom doesn't really like the flowers you get from that place, which is a bummer because it's a local place.
You want to support local. Help local
businesses.
Well,
this place is pretty, this is a place, I don't know, this place feels very Marin, but you know, they're local-ish. But this is like actually like, you know, like a big trailer and they have flowers. Like, yeah. You know, I go there on my scooter. It's right up the street. They're really nice. It's a family-run operation, but apparently, you know, Princess Madeline doesn't like their flowers.
Oh.
Jesus. I'll let them know. Your kid's hungry? They're going to stay that way. No, I don't even like flowers.
Well, so I've been doing, you know, as I travel around and do different things.
Of course it's on your mind when you're traveling, man. Like that's, even if you get the best attitude, it sucks.
It does suck. And there are ways, you know, like there are these people, if you go onto like Reddit or something like that, and I'm not suggesting this, I would never suggest this, but there are lots of rabbit holes of like people who travel with like, I have one bag and I have everything in the bag.
Oh,
and
it's like a cult. I remember
it is a cult. It is a cult.
I was very into the one bag thing. That was a thing for a while. And there was even a specific bag that I got because I heard it was the good bag to get if you're a one bag person. And I did that absolutely ludicrous thing that this person recommended. Do you remember the thing where you put all your clothes in a pile and then fold them into a ball?
Yeah, I tried that once too. It didn't work. Didn't work for me.
I mean, I understand, I think conceptually, if you're going to pack a duffel, that might work. If you're going to the gym, but I'm sorry, continue.
No, I mean, you're right. And there are certain things that you can do that make packing like really effective. And the whole goal, I guess, is that people don't want to take, you know, and this is again, the difference between the experienced traveler and the inexperienced traveler. The more experienced travelers, and I'm going to now put myself into that category, I'm not talking about the people who are like, I backpacked across Vietnam and Asia for 6 months with only one pair of socks and a shoelace. Now, I'm not talking about those people. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about business travel or American vacation travel, like where you're in, you know, where the place that you're going to go is, there's going to be a convenience store and a Whole Foods. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about like going to the outback
where you're to survive. I've summarized this with this, and I know this is not meant to cover everything, but they sell toothbrushes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to the middle of a desert,
right?
You can probably pick up underwear and t-shirts.
Yes.
You know, places like hotels tend to be near malls and right. things like that. It's like what you want to really focus on is the irreplaceable stuff.
The things that you can't find easily. The right. things that are, yeah, that are very specific like to you and your trip.
Like email yourself and your host, email them your presentation mm-hmm. before you fly. Have it on a USB key that's not checked. Mm-hmm. Like there's that kind of stuff.
Put it in your iCloud, Dropbox, OneDrive, sure, Google
like,
Drive.
Like, you know, I mean, this is a different kind of advice, but there is stuff that won't be replaceable there. But like, you're not going to have everything you could ever, you're George Costanza, right? You're who are you? Diana Ross? Like you pack all this stuff you're never going to use. And anyway, continue.
You're absolutely right. And there was a time, you know, the general philosophy that I used to have a long time ago was, I kind of want to take a microcosm of what I have at home and bring it with me and adapt my environment to my particular needs. And now I have the opposite, which is I will adapt to my environment. And exactly what you just said, Like I used to say, well, you know, what if I get a headache? Okay, I'll pack some Advil. What if I have indigestion? Okay, well, I'll pack some, you know, chewable Pepto-Bismol just in case, you know, whatever. And everything was like just in case, to the point where I now had like a humongous full toiletry bag of just in case I need this, I'll have this just in case. Right. And then I thought back over all the trips that I'd ever taken in my life.
If I spill something on this shirt and I only have one other bag, no, that all makes sense. But like, if I could say, Dan, ask yourself, for myself, a lot of my mania about traveling, excluding strictly anxiety about the whole process, again, including from the moment I find out about traveling, I'm
right,
anxious.
Right.
It's not something that happens on the day of, but ask yourself this, how much of your weird packing comes out of fear of inconvenience and boredom?
Almost all of it would.
Right. So do you really need all of these DVDs? Well, you're worried you'll be bored.
Right.
You bring all these books and you're not going to read any of those books. Like, you know what I mean? Like for me, and again, that's me. And maybe that's not everybody, but that is me. And like inconvenience and boredom is what I fear. I don't want to have to get toothpaste when I get there. I'd rather not.
Right.
But I also, you know what I mean? I think that's related.
Many.
Because you don't, it's the lack of control.
It's the lack of control. Many. Maybe not all, but I would say the large majority of American hotels will have the essential items available if you need them, if you forgot them. Toothpaste.
Sometimes for free. If it's a Marriott, they've got a little shop.
Right. They'll have a little shop, yeah. Or they'll be around. They will be within a block or two of walking distance. There'll be some kind of convenience store so that if you forgot your dental floss, they're going to have some. You know, if you forgot something that's absolutely critical, like a toothbrush, they're going to have something and you can get the toothbrush, you know. And generally speaking, you know, like people will take a trip, especially like a business trip or something like that. I'm not talking if you're like giving a huge presentation and you're a salesperson or whatever. I'm just saying like a casual business trip. Guess what? Yeah. You can wear jeans more than once. You can wear them a few times. They're merino wool T-shirts that you give, you know, that you can wear. There are other things that you can wear multiple times. Guess what else they make? They make these cool little travel sized soap things that are designed to let you wash stuff in your sink in your hotel. They work really, 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 really well. Most nicer hotels also have a laundry service. It is the most expensive thing you could probably have done in a hotel, but
make sure you check the prices before you give them literally everything.
When you open up your closet, there's going to be one hanger in there that's going to have like a piece of paper and a bag attached to it. That's for them to do laundry for you. So you know what? Like if you really, really, really need that shirt again, you can pay the exorbitant price, but they'll do it. They'll get it. You know, it might be cheaper to walk to the Target and buy it yourself, but like there is a remedy for this. The remedy may not always cost money, but sometimes it does. But like if it's that important that you have that shirt a second time, you could get it laundered and they'll do it for you. And they do a really good job most of the time. It's, you know, you don't want to have like your whole dry cleaning done that way.
I've had friends that were vaguely aware that it was quote unquote expensive, but didn't know that it could be like $8 for a shirt.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, $6 for a pair of socks. Right. And they're like, oh, I've been traveling so much. I think I'll treat myself. And being like over $100, you know.
I would like to tell you about something I like. It is Shopify. When I started podcasting, you know, like the idea of like having a store, like that was just not an easy thing to do. Like a store, you can sell your stuff. And guess what? Like I have used Shopify to sell some things that I will tell you about. One of them was the Philly special t-shirt that I did. This is kind of a cool Shopify story. Okay, so I'm from Philly. I love the Eagles. When the Eagles won the Super Bowl a few years ago, the next morning I woke up and the play that they'd used to win the Super Bowl was called the Philly Special. It was this kind of like trick play. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have like a t-shirt with like the trick play drawn on it and like says the words Philly Special on it? Like that would be really cool. So the day after the Super Bowl, that morning I woke up, I reached out to a buddy of mine who's like an artist. And I said, hey, can I hire you to just like draw something that says Philly Special and draw the play? And he's like, yeah, sure. So I hired him to do it. While he was drawing it, I went over to Shopify.com. I signed up and made a brand new account, used their stuff to make the website. And, you know, by the time that I was done with that, he was still like, it took me way less time to do that. And he was still sitting there doing the design. So, you know, a couple hours later, he's like, hey, I got the design done. What do you think? And I'm like, it's perfect. So I uploaded the image into Shopify and took the store live. You know, like all I had to do was like connect it so I could receive payments. And like, that was it. Like, this is super easy. And like, the, you know, they'd say, oh, it's easy to set up your store. And you're like, yeah, right. No, this was like incredibly easy. Like, I did it while I was working on other things and a guy was doing a drawing. And then I took it live and I sold, I sold thousands of these shirts. Now, yeah, it was good timing. And it happened to get picked up by a bunch of Philly fans. But the fact is, like, I went from an idea to selling a product in hours. And that's absolutely crazy. And you get this cool little cha-ching sound that happens every time you sell something. It's very, very cool. You know, there's a lot of copy that they want me to read for this. There's some talking points. So I'll tell you, but like, honestly, like if that story doesn't move you to try something on your own, I'd like the talking points aren't going to do more, but I'll read them to you because you know what? Like Shopify is an amazing service. I have been a fan of Shopify since they began. I know the founder and I know a bunch of people that work there. It's a great company. But here I got to tell you these things. They want me to tell you these things. So Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage. I think I outlined that, right? From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just have a million order stage, they're here to help you grow. And that's the thing. I know people who are using Shopify and they are doing millions of dollars in revenue every year. They are selling millions of items a year. And I know people that sell 5 shirts a month or, you know, that kind of thing. It's not just for t-shirts, obviously. But it doesn't matter. I mean, you could be selling security systems. You could be selling memory modules. Like they are going to help you sell everywhere. They've got the all-in-one e-commerce platform. They've got in-person point of sale systems, POS systems. So like wherever and whatever you're selling, they've got you covered. That's the cool part. Whenever I go to like one of these little, you know, pop-up things where there's like 50 different vendors, they're all using this. They've all got it on their phone or their iPad. They help you turn browsers into buyers. It's the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to the other leading commerce platforms. I did not know that. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic. They have now an AI powered thing that's like helping you and making it even better. It's very, very cool. I told you my story. I don't know what else to say. These guys are great. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/backtowork. Now the back to work has to be all lowercase. So like, don't screw this up, guys. You can do it all lowercase. shopify.com/backtowork. Go there now, grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. And we sure do appreciate Shopify for making the show possible. shopify.com/backtowork. But you know, the other thing is like a lot of the time you're going to a place where you have friends or family there, or maybe you're even staying with a family member or a friend. And I remember one time I was saying this to my kids, we were going to stay and we were going to be staying with my mom. And they're like, well, you know, we're going to be there for 6 days or 5 nights or whatever it was. Like, so I want to make sure that, you know, I bring a pair of underwear for every day and a pair of shirts, a thing to sleep in and whatever. I'm like, you only need to bring half that much stuff. And like, what do you mean? I need some for every day.
Like, but I used to pack.
Like my mom has a washer and a dryer. Wash it halfway through.
Twice a week, I change my shirt.
Right.
And like, but I imagine when I'm traveling, I'll be changing 3 times a day. Like I seriously, like, to what Seinfeld, like I am Diana Ross. Or like I'm hosting SNL and I need an outfit just for introducing the musical guest.
Right.
No, I don't. I really don't. I wear the same thing every day, all the time. And it packs up real small and I don't need 6 of it.
Right.
It's just that gives me, when I'm packing that is me addressing my demon dogs personally.
Yes, yes.
I've had to learn to not fight that per se, but to like integrate that, understand that and be more cool with myself about it. But all that stuff, all those bags that I have, these huge bags of electronics I take that I don't need. Mm. And then like, you know, the thing is I'll bring the HDMI cable, the Interset generic remote that can be, I bring all the stuff that I need, an iPad, all that stuff. And then like the one time I forget it, I'm actually in a place where it would have been nice, but like, I'm not mad about it.
Right.
Because that's the wrong lesson to take away from that feeling of, oh, darn it. Because you're traveling. It's not your house. And instead, and really, if it's a vacation, my God, it's so vital to learn to embrace how things are where you are.
Yes.
Rather than how you wish they were. And it's sometimes it's so difficult because you haven't figured out what that place is good at yet. Figure out what that place is good at and stop worrying about your bag that had your retainer in it. Like, it'll come if it comes, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. Do you really want to blow your whole vacation being sad because you've been inconvenienced?
Yeah, and it's generally speaking, the inconvenience isn't that bad. Like, if I forgot my glasses, yeah, that's going to be a bad time. But does that mean I should pack two pairs of spare glasses just in case, because I might lose them?
You'll never pack enough glasses.
Right. You know, you want to pack just enough stuff to get by, maybe even a little less. And you'll be shocked if you've ever gone somewhere and done something and been like, well, I brought that, I didn't need it, but I brought it just in case. Stop bringing it. You know, let it determine, let the conditions and the whole situation kind of determine what it is that you need to bring. Now, I've done this enough that, and another thing, like for your toiletries, I see this all the time, people I've traveled with, is that they're, and this again, this makes sense if you travel once or twice a year. Like, I get it. But if you're traveling more frequently than that, eventually you're going to realize, you know what? I might as well just buy a second set of whatever the things are that I need. So that
that's sure true for cables.
Right. Cables for sure. Absolutely for cables. But, you know, the idea of like, well, guess what? I gonna buy a travel underarm deodorant to just throw into my toiletry bag, and that way I don't have to take the full size one or worry about it. No, it's always in there. It's ready to go. My travel bag is essentially packed at any moment. All I need to do is pick out a couple of the items, and I have clothing that I wear just when I travel.
That's smart. Have that packed and ready, because if there's an apocalypse or whatever, you're going to be glad you got that second toothbrush.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not so much like a go bag in case there's a thing. It's more, you know, but it's more like I don't want to have to think about it. I'm always going to be bringing these same travel items with me every time. So they just stay in the travel bag at all times. They're just in there ready to go. Yeah, yeah. And if you get efficient enough, and you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, I do enjoy the process of saying, did I need that? Can I consolidate it? Can I get one thing that does two things? Can I get one thing that does three things? I'll give you an example of this. I'm going to put this in a show notes. I'm looking in my Amazon orders, because this is a recent acquisition that is like the best thing maybe that I've ever gotten for travel. It's a sleeper. I don't hear anyone talking about this thing, and it is next. Like, it, this one thing, hold on, I'll put it in the show notes right now. This is called the MagSafe charger compatible Anker MagGo 3-in-1 charging station, key 2 certified 15 watt wireless charger stand, Apple Watch charger for iPhone 15, 14, AirPods, Apple Watch S9 40 watt USB-C charger included. It's $100. Calm down. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I know. But this thing charges your, if it's key two charging compatible phone, so that's like most iPhones that are in recent memory, and it will also charge your AirPods, and it will also charge your Apple Watch, and it does it all in one, in the most compact, and it supports fast charging, and it in the most compact form factor I've ever seen. It's really rugged. It's not that huge square thing that like is really big. This is absolutely amazing. And if your phone supports nightstand mode, it'll go into nightstand mode on this thing. This thing is so small and lightweight and compact, and it charges all three of those things. It that way, so instead of bringing, well, I got to bring something to charge my iPhone. I got to bring a whole bunch of USB-C cable. No, you don't. You have one device that charges all three of those things at once and one cable, and it comes with a little power brick. Guess what? You don't need the power brick if you're also bringing your MacBook, because your MacBook will charge through. So there's one less brick that you need. So now if you're traveling with like your computer, your watch, your phone, and your AirPods, all you need is the computer and the thing you charge that with, the cable that comes with this and this little box, and you're charging every single device that you have. It's really, really great. And yeah, it's expensive. Like, it's $100. But if you're traveling a lot, guess what? This becomes your alarm clock. This becomes your nightstand clock. This becomes three chargers in one. And
if it gets stepped on, buy a circus elephant, you can buy something else.
That's right. That's right.
You're not, it's just, this is not, I mean, this is, it's, you can get, if, especially if you're an Apple black, because most especially if you're an Android person, but like, unless you have something very exotic, you can probably find a way to charge it.
You really can. Like, you really can. Yeah. USB-C cables, now that we're finally like consolidating onto USB-C, USB-C cables, we finally have like one way to charge everything now. And what I think a lot of people forget or don't realize is you can charge things from your Mac. You can plug your phone or your AirPods or whatever into your Mac. And even on battery power, a lot of the time it will charge that. You test it first, test at home, but
yeah, right.
It will do that kind of thing for you. And so realistically, also, I cannot remember the last time that if you're staying in even a slightly modern hotel, not, you know, one that's that has had a new lamp put in it in the last 10 years.
Got a beautiful iHome clock radio that you can plug your iPod into.
Well, that's the thing, is like there will be USB ports in those horrible little radio clock things, or into the lamp itself, or into the wall. And like you can absolutely just not even bring a brick. You will need to bring one of those little adapters that converts from USB A to USB-C. But like, get a few of those. They're really cheap. Get a few of those. Put those in your bag. And now you've got, you know, a couple of cables. It'll charge anything anywhere. It's really straightforward. Or rely on your MacBook that you're bringing to, you know, if you bring one, to charge stuff for you, because you're going to have a handful of ports and you're going to be able to just plug things into that and charge them. And it's not that important that you get fast charging. You're probably going to be in your room for 8 hours at night, usually. You know, sometimes a little bit less.
There's opportunities in all those things. Yeah.
And so, like, you know, my goal is just, I just want to take as little stuff with me around as possible. And if I forget something and I got to buy it when I get there, like, well, shame on me and learn my lesson. I'll bring it next time, whatever. But usually those are just very special situations. It's not like you have to be ready for anything. You're not going, and like you said, we're not going to the Sahara. So there are lots of little ways that you can up your game like that. And I've got it down to the point where for 3 nights or less, I can easily do that with just a backpack and not making any compromises, not saying, well, you know, I'll do this and that. No, you know, the one thing.
Where do you put all your DVDs?
Well, I strap them. I sew them into my jacket lining.
That's smart. That way they can't read your ARFID tags either.
That's right. And, is that how they're said, ARFID? I like that. I haven't heard that before.
I don't know.
I've been
mispronounced acronyms all the time.
No, that's really cool. But, you know, so for me, from my standpoint, it's like, you know, there isn't, and this is the thing, there isn't like some, now for me there was, but for most people, there isn't like some kind of perfect, you know, bag that's, you're going to get the same way that, like, if you get the same notebook that Hemingway had, you're going to write just like he did. It's just going to be exactly the same. Like, you're going to be the next Hemingway. Yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Like the bag that's right for me is probably not the right bag for you. But, you know, the idea is like, you want to get a bag that's versatile. You want to get a bag that can do a few different things. Of course, there's some tips and things that I would kind of put down as like mandatory for any bag to have. But I'm actually looking on the website right now for the one that I've been using for a while. That's like really great because I wear glasses, and because I'm 51 years old and my prescription is like really weird. The glasses that I actually have two pairs of glasses. I have a pair that I use, which I guess you would call for like distance. Like you're just walking around in the day, just doing your thing.
Yeah.
And then I have another pair where there's something different where they don't make as much of a correction for their nearsightedness or something, which they call my computer glasses. And my computer glasses.
Yeah, I mean, like I've got indexed, I might have just called it indexed or whatever it's called, but progressive.
Right.
Which is just that like the top is for far away and the bottom is for close. And then there's a little DMZ in between. Some people can't stand that.
Yeah, those didn't work for me, unfortunately. I've tried it a few times, but they didn't work. So I just added, this one is from a company called Thule, or Thule, T-H-U-L-E. I think
Thule.
Thule? No. Really?
I don't know. I think it's about a wave.
They're Swedish or something.
Well, they make those things you put your
Thule
surfboard on top of your car.
Thule.
I think it's too late. I don't know. I really don't care.
No, I'm going to call it too late for now. So I put this one in there. This is they call it the Thule Accent. It's a convertible backpack. It's 17 liter black. And what's really, 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 really cool about this thing is it can look like a briefcase if you want it to. When they don't, I mean, it doesn't look like a hard shell briefcase, but it's briefcase style. So you can walk around carrying it if you want. Which is nice because if you're doing a business thing, you want to be able to bring your laptop with you. So you can just take the shoulder strap off and then you're walking around and you're like in a business setting and it's fine. Okay, cool. But what if you want to be a little more casual? What if you got your hands full? What if you're walking through the airport? Well, then there is that shoulder strap. Mm-hmm. But what if that's not enough? Okay, this has two completely...
Versatile, Dan. You're talking about versatile.
That's right. This has two completely hideable and hidden backpack straps that go under the padded back and... Are completely zipped away. It also has that like thing in the middle of the back of it so that you can slide it over your carry-on bag that's a wheeled bag.
Yeah.
Gotta have that. This has a separate laptop compartment that also has room for an iPad. They say that it'll fit like an 11-inch iPad. Guess what? It fits the iPad Pro, the 12.9-inch 2. And you can also put your 16-inch MacBook Pro or similarly sized device in there. It has this little thing on the front I've never seen before in anything. I don't know who came up with this thing. But there's this little thing on the front of it. It's a little pocket that has on the inside of the pocket, like a hard shell. And I think they call it like a safe zone or something like that.
So you can put your glasses in
there? You put your freaking glasses in there and then they won't get banged up or compressed or scrunched. Or your
Yadro. That's really smart.
That's right. And what
you travel with Yadros.
And what that means is that you don't need to pack a separate glasses case that you then have to take out and open up to transfer the thing. So if you're a nerd like me and you have to sit down and change the glasses that you're wearing when you're going to watch the movie on the plane, you can do that without any big deal. And guess what? Maybe you just have sunglasses. Maybe you're a normal human and you just have a pair of sunglasses. They'll go in there perfectly. Maybe you want to put something else secure in there. What this bag does not have is like an easy access pocket where you can throw like a couple things that you would need quickly. It doesn't really have that. You couldn't use the safe zone thing as that if you don't have glasses. That's the one thing this bag doesn't have. But for everything else that it does have, it's very well worth it. And in this one backpack thing, I can easily fit 3 days of stuff that I need, you know, where I'm not repeating stuff and it's fine. And I do that usually by doing something called ranger rolling. You can look up what ranger rolling is, or maybe I'll put a link to it. But to ranger roll your clothes, this is a way, and I actually learned this from the Army Rangers are the ones who, in theory, invented ranger rolling. But I learned this from a friend of mine when he was in boot camp in the Navy. And it's just a way of rolling things and just go on YouTube and type a ranger roll. But this thing that I linked to has...
I think I might have seen t-shirts rolled like this.
It's a great way to roll t-shirts. It's a great
way to be able to see like what's on the t-shirt and things like that.
You can totally do that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But what's nice about it is each of the items that you're rolling, it's designed to make them take up the absolute least amount of space, A, and B, to... cause them to be the least kind of folded and creased and wrinkled. Your stuff will still get wrinkled.
But they're also, I mean, don't leave this on the table. They're also independent.
Yes.
And my usual way of packing, cause I don't really care, but I've got a ton of those in my one bag days. I started adopting what I think is still a good idea, which are, I don't know what you call them, cube bags. I think there's different people make them. I get one from something River Company, I think, but you can get them in different sizes and they're just cubes with a zipper and you put stuff in it, which is great. But like you could range and roll your shirts and put them in there, but I tend to just grab them out of the laundry, fold it up and put them in there. But if I want to, I got to go like, you know, sort through those. They've lost their autonomy as shirt units.
Right.
And if you don't want to unpack, you want to be able to get the stuff in your bag. That's another part of it is like the minimum amount of disruption to other packed goods is a good approach.
It really is. Having that kind of structure is
and just like what I call bag in a bag.
A bag
like
in a bag.
I live the bag in a bag lifestyle all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not unrelated to the old George Carlin bit about your stuff, but it's also not exactly that. So you can make the joke if you want, but I mean more like I've got bags and bags and bags.
Yeah.
Like I have a backpack that I carry around, and then there's like my the bag inside of that that has all my like just go to stuff that I want to have with me, including things like extra index cards, pens, backup medicine, because I'd want that all the time. An item I'm going to mention in my wrap up goes in that bag. But even inside of that, then there's pill bags that have like individual, like it depends. Usually if I'm traveling for 3 nights, I make 5 nights of pills to put in separate bags.
Right.
Why? Because if anything goes wrong, wouldn't it be nice to have that rather than worrying it doesn't take up space?
Right.
More Imodium than you think you could ever use in a million years, because someday you'll be glad you've got it. Or somebody you're with who's never used Imodium, but suddenly realizes they have a problem. You can say, yes, you have a problem, but you also have a friend. And that friend is giving you Imodium and it's about to change your life and you will be able to fly. You just need another half hour. Take four of these. I know, take one and wait. Don't take four. And it'll dehydrate you, but you won't poop yourself on a plane. Well, you're less likely to. Merlin makes errors. Please check important information. But yeah, no, bag in a bag also. And that's kind of what you're talking about here is like you got a big bag. Like let's say you're going on vacation with your family and you've got a suitcase. And then inside of that, you've got, with me, I've got the two sides of the bag. You know, there's the away style, zip it up in this thing over here side. And then, but even like all the way down to, like, it doesn't cost you anything extra for these incredibly lightweight bags to be used and deployed. And if you have a system for the way you like your stuff, there's nothing to prevent you. You don't have to bring more stuff, but the stuff you do bring, even if you bring, if you're, I would say even, or especially if it were me, oh, I would never want to travel like you have to travel. But if you do need to travel and you want to take a backpack, that's all the more reason for bag in a bag.
Right.
It really is. You ever look at what your backpack looks like at the end of a long flight? It's madness. Mine is full of garbage and pocket change and like all the kipple that gets created on a flight
right.
I didn't stick in the back of the seat is in that bag and it's all really gross and I can't find anything. The beautifully wrapped cables are now all a mess. Well, that's, as they say, a teachable moment to go, oh, well, maybe I need a smaller bag for just the cables that I use when I say bag, I'm talking about these things that are like, they weigh nothing. Eagle Creek, that's the place I was thinking of, but you can get whatever. Amazon sells generics of this.
Is great. And Eagle Creek also makes
Go ahead. No, it's latency. But like one I've got that's really seems silly probably is one of those cube bags. I think it's a generic one. And it's no more than 1.5 inches or 2 inches across. It's almost a cube. If you can imagine
like a packing cube kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. Packing cube. That's what I was trying to say before.
Yeah,
okay. But this one in particular, it's kind of squat. It's maybe like 1.5 inches by 1 inch or whatever. It's really small. It's got a little bit of depth. And boy, is that ever great for like a cable you always want to have in your bag, but rarely have to use. Is like you can pack so much stuff up real tight in that if you coil it right. I still use the life hacker method of cable stuff, whatever you like can work for you. But I will pack it up real tight and put that in that, and then that goes in another bag. But then like this is part of learning how to travel is also like, well, you don't want to have too many bags and bags because then maybe you can't find stuff, but you need enough to like keep your stuff organized functionally, not organized existentially in terms of where you think it would be nice. Think about when you're going to need it. I pack my backpack that way every day. Like what stuff am I going to need? What stuff am I not going to need?
Right.
What stuff do I need to be able to, isn't there stuff I want to be able to get to without having to stick my arm into a Tom Bin brain bag, which is like probably the biggest backpack anyone I know uses every day.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to tell you about something else that I like. It's Factor. Factors, delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. I mean, this is important, right? Like you're sitting there, you're hungry. It's lunchtime, it's dinner time, it's, you know, whatever. You're hungry. You want to eat. And you're like, nothing sounds good. And what do? You wind up making like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something you don't really like. And it's not really that healthy. No offense to peanut butter and jelly. Well, wherever tomorrow takes you, you're going to be ready because these guys have pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. There's over 35 different options a week you can choose from, including stuff for, you're on keto? Cool. They got that. Calorie smart, vegan, veggie, more. And there's even more to enjoy because they've got over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. I hate the planning part. You know, don't you just sit there and you're like, I just want someone to do it for me. They do it for you. They can have that. So here's the thing. What are you waiting for? Get started today. You're going to have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. 2-minute meals. Okay. So you're going to fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are. I love that. Snacks, smoothies, and more. There's a wide variety of easy options for like the whole day. They got breakfast. They got your midday bites. They got more. And when you sign up, you're going to save. They've done the math. It's less expensive than takeout. And every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious, which I think is a pretty important thing. It's a perfect solution if you're looking for something fast. And to be honest, a little bit more upscale than like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What's really cool also is that it's flexible for your schedule. You can get as much or as little as you need. You can choose 6 to 18 meals per week and you can pause it. You can reschedule your deliveries anytime. There's no prep. There are no mess meals and they're 100% ready to heat and eat. There's no prepping. There's no cooking and there's essentially no cleanup. Like that's it. It's just a little package and you eat it and you throw it away. So here's the deal. Head to factormeals.com/backtowork50. 50 and use the code back to work 50. And guess what? You're going to get 50% off. That's what the 50 is for. So that's code back to work 50, back to work 50 at factormeals.com/backtowork50 and get 50% off. Trust me, I've been eating these things for like a week now. They're really, really good. So go check it out. Thanks very much to Factor for making the show possible.
Like, what if your bag is checked? The kind of thing where you open it up and it's got that lovely note in it that your bag's been searched. They usually, I think they're very polite about that in my experience.
Yeah.
But it's way easier to do if you got cubes in there.
Way easier.
I mean, just
get the cube. And Amazon has these cubes that are like incredibly cheap. I bought a set of them because they were so cheap.
They're very light. They're lighter than a windbreaker. They're almost like an aircraft kind of material. They're so light.
Here's one from, let me see. Is this the one that I got? Okay. Amazon Basics has one, but that's not even the cheapest one. I'll just put this cheap one in here. It's the Vecan 8-set packing cubes for suitcases, travel essentials for carry-on, black luggage organizer, bag set for travel accessories in 4 sizes, extra large, large, medium, small. It's $16 and change. There is no excuse why you should not skip getting your latte for a day or two and get a pair of these. It comes with everything. They're cheap. And they're probably not the best ones out there, but you'll have them and it'll be better than not having them. It's $16. There's also an Amazon Basics version of it. If you want to upgrade your experience a little bit, the better brand to get is the Eagle Creek. They make my favorite ones, but there are lots and lots of brands.
They're available
that make
in like all kinds of sizes.
Every size you could possibly imagine. And
I've got one that's like suit jacket size where if you fold it in half, top to bottom.
Love that.
Well, it depends on how you want to do that. Like with a suit jacket, I think a good trick with that is if you don't have a hangy thing in your, obviously I don't travel that way much anymore, thank God. But if you need to, another great thing there is like contra the fold everything into a pile thing. Mm. Put something kind of squishy at the point where you fold it. So like a couple rolled up t-shirts, if you put that at the point where you crease your jacket. So I'm imagining you put that in your, like a men's sports coat, mm-hmm. you know, with the collar part at the top and the bottom part at the bottom, and you fold over the sleeves usually, depending on how you want to do it. But if you were to put a couple rolled up t-shirts in there before you fold it, that keeps it from getting a hard crease.
Nice tip.
Thank you.
That was a good one.
Good bags. Can I do a quick dump of a few of mine? And
yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, no, we can end with that because I got a hard out.
Okay. Oh, nice. I've written down 4 things here, and
It's always 4 things with you.
It's always 4 things with me. You know that I've always got a lot to say about this, and some of it I've kind of rethought over time, but these are four from straight off the dome. Some are old, some are new. One of them, I'm just going to say this, guys. If you're in the Apple ecosystem, put an AirTag on or in everything you care about.
Oh, so smart.
And then I in my head, I hear people yelling at me like, $25 for what? Like, it's like, well, the way I look at it is, if you lost your glasses or mislaid your glasses even, like if there's anything that you care about and you can't find it, if somebody came up to you and said, this is again, a very straight out of a Larry David thing, how much would you have paid to use the bathroom? Well, now you have to spend that much on something because it's for customers only.
Right.
If somebody said to you, well, would you spend $25 to get your eyeglasses back? Be like, yeah, actually I would. Well, I would. Why not do that now? And in particular, I would put it in any bag you care about And I would put it on. Honestly, my tip there is I've got Warby Parker glasses that come with a Warby Parker case, and I just dropped an AirTag in there because as much as I try to be really good about it, I still mislay my glasses sometimes. And there is something, if you are really tightly wound or a tech person or both, there's something kind of fun about landing and pulling up your phone and looking at Find My, and you can see, like, a lot of times it looks like your luggage is still over Kansas because that's the last reading it got or whatever. But AirTags are pretty good at what they do, and they can really save your bacon. I know that's obvious, but it'll be obvious until the day you realize you should have done it, and then it's too late. It's kind of insurance, I believe. And number two, this is a cable everybody owns, but I really believe in these. The one I like is, so basically this is USB-A, usually USB 2, A on one side, a cable. And then at the end, I just call it the octopus, although it's really more like a tri-topus, but it's got the natural like end of it is a USB, whatever, mini, I guess, that trapezoidal
Oh
one,
yeah, yep.
to which you can then attach, from the little dingus, you can pop on either USB-C or Lightning. I have one of these in every bag that I care about. Now, I like the ones that are made by Belkin, but that doesn't matter. But some do suck more than others. The generic ones do suck. Like, be careful. There's ones you can get that are really beautiful and colorful on Amazon, and they're blue and they're red, and they come with two Lightning, and all this. They're great. There's five on there, and those die so fast. But anyway, I would just say have one of those if you've got a tiny little bag in your bag. Just always have one of those. And I know that sounds obvious, but again, if this were all obvious, nobody would ever have a problem.
Right.
But like that means anywhere you go, you could, whether it's you, a friend, or a stranger, you could, and that's such a nice thing to do for somebody. It's like if a kid's iPad is dying and they're about to go on a flight, you whip out this little cable,
You're like a
put it,
hero.
yeah, put the USB-C dongus on the end of it. And it's USB-A, so it's much more likely to work lots of places. Yes, you can get this in Lightning, or sorry, you can get this in USB-C, and that's fine. But if you get USB-A, it's much more likely to work pretty much anywhere you go. And you're not going to find yourself in that weird situation of like, oh, I have to go to one of these kiosks where you plug your phone in and it wants to see your contacts. And like, oh, I know that sounds dumb and obvious, but I don't care. So whatever that's called, the three-ended thing for USB-A. The two other quick ones, and these are classics, but I'm going to say them again because these are things that are very small, flat, and easy to remember to put in at home that I can promise you will make your life better. One of these is what I call a project folder. Now, having said this, or project portfolio, and when I talk about this, nobody ever knows what I'm talking about. I learned about these back when I was more into physical, media maintenance. So if you can imagine, think of what you could call like an accordion folder. And this is a thing where it basically just looks like a file folder. It's kind of cool because it's got all these like slots usually like already printed on it for like what's the project name, who's working on it, things like that. Mainly, I use it for all kinds of stuff. Instead of a regular folder, if you prefer, the direction here is bring a couple manila folders with you. Why do I like these? Because they're accordion. So they get like open to like probably an inch and a half, or they're almost totally flat. Why? Well, did you ever go anywhere with your family? Did you ever go to Disneyland with your family? Do you know how much kipple you bring home every day that you kind of want to keep? Maybe there's some stuff you want to keep as a souvenir. Maybe there's you want to keep a copy of the menu or the brochure or the whatever. That goes next to your charging stand in your hotel room. And anytime there's kipple and garbage, it all goes into that folder. And then you can take it home and you can throw it out or whatever. Guess what? If you're a business traveler, got a place for your receipts? Now you do. And I don't know what to call them. They're made by different people, but just if you search for project folder, you'll see them probably somewhere. That's one. Now, this one's really crazy. But I still really believe this. I'm a huge fan of the IKEA Frakta bag, which are those big
Fracta.
blue bags. You can get them like when you're shopping at IKEA. That's the shopping bags, those big blue bags. They fold for practical purposes. They fold flat. They fold real small. But you know what? Next to your project folder, I put mine in a 2 gallon Ziploc just because I also bring Ziploc bags. But that's a separate thing. I'm tightly wound. But with your project folder, also throw in an IKEA bag. Why? Well, an IKEA bag folds as small as your folder, but it turns into 19 liters of storage. Is there any chance in the world that you could benefit from a bag that you forgot you even have with you that could hold 19 liters of laundry or groceries or Christmas presents or, you know, stuff you go out apple collecting. I don't know. It's those blue plastic recycled bags. We use them for recycling at our house. They're pretty inexpensive. And having one of those in your bag, it's going to blow your mind. It's sort of like I used to say about the hipster PDA. The real thing that makes the hipster PDA, which is the thing I still use, the thing that makes index cards in a clip so useful is in carrying a pen, and also then carrying a pen, is you never again, you start operationalizing and habituating the idea that I always have a way to write things down and I know where it goes, which changes the way you think.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you're allowed to think things because you know where it goes. You want to write down, suggest a Belle and Sebastian album to somebody, write on a card and hand it to them. And you will only understand that, not really, and in the abstract, until you start doing it. Having the IKEA bag in your bag, and a brand new, fresh, $2 bag that you will reuse forever because they never die. Having that, and it'll blow your mind where you're suddenly like, oh, I realize I could really use this. Like I say, it could just be for taking stuff to the laundry room at the hotel room.
Right.
It can be for all kinds. Like if you just need a way to like carry groceries into the place where you're going to go, the house you're visiting. Air tags and everything. A cable with multi ends, always with you. IKEA bag project folder. I have many, many, many more, but I think those are some that I can almost promise you will start having actual direct benefits for you more quickly than you might imagine.
Right.
Especially if you remember you've got it and can use it.
Genius.
What else have you got for like a big, like what's another, what's just like a big general travel tip? You got a big general, any change of mind? Any, and like, is there anything, you know, so you got your Serenity Now mantra, anything else you really recommend for the traveling American?
Oh, there's so many little things. I feel like you can bring beef jerky. I mean, you know, bring.
I think it's called Old Prospector is the name of it. And what's it called? Old Trapper. I found a kind of supermarket. I found the best supermarket beef jerky. Yeah. Now my family doesn't like when I eat it in the car because it smells like beef jerky.
Yeah.
But having a snack, you know, nuts.com makes those little packs of nuts.
Yeah. Okay. So what I do, here's what I do. I'm going to give this one away. This is next level.
Oh my God, this is
stuff.
Huge. And this is how we'll end it. You got a heart out, but I want you to drop.
Yeah, I'm late.
Travel bomb.
I'm late on my heart out, but this is how important this is to me.
Oh, jeez.
I train a lot and I it's always a challenge to get protein. So I get my favorite protein powder that I take and I bring it with me and I have it on the trip. Not so much that I'm working out on the trip because you want to get protein, but it's wonderful how, you know, you can have like a little protein shake and that just extends the time you need to eat for like a couple hours. Yeah. So beef jerky, great. I love it. That's something I also bring with me, but
it's got sugar, but I don't care
for the protein shakes. When you're like, you know, back at your hotel room and it's like 7 o'clock and you're just going to be
hell and you want a snack.
Yeah. So what you do instead of, for a long time, I would bring a shaker bottle with me and I would put the protein things in. So forget that. What I do now is I got, and I'll put all of this in the show notes later, but I get these little pouches that are the same thing that I suppose you would, you know, like, I don't know what people are putting in these, you know, you buy like tea or potpourri or that kind of stuff. And it comes in like a little heat sealed bag. Well, you don't need to use a heat seal. They have a little Ziploc on them and you can get these things. Oh. It's like 10, 12 bucks for like 100 of these things. You put your protein powder in this, you zip it closed. It's like perfect for taking with you. It's a single serving kind of thing, but they're reusable. You don't have to throw them out after you use it. It's just your protein powder going in there.
It's a win-win-win.
And then what you get, I got a silicone.
I never remember.
Funnel that's flat. And so you take that funnel.
Oh, the kind that's like got little, it's like a slick steps, like a collapse.
That was the one I was using, but I just found a better one. And I'll put in the show notes too.
Folding funnel. I love that.
It's amazing. It's completely flat. And you take your protein powder and you put it into just one of the regular old 16-ounce bottles of water that you get everywhere that the hotel often just gives you or sells in the thing. And there's your protein shake at night. You don't need a shaker. You don't need anything. You just do it. This is like next level stuff here.
You're self-sufficient. You're like a one man astronaut.
A one man astronaut.
Hey, I kept you too long. It was 12:30. Your heart out.
Yeah.
Sorry, 2:30.
Yeah.
Huh, I'll be Hornswoggled. Well, sorry about that. Travel
right.
well and happy whatever to everybody. What's happening right now? Oh, there's Lunar New Year.
I Lunar think New Year coming, up. Yeah.
Presidential Day is coming up. But we need to let Dan go, so I'm going to say, well, let's button this up. I love you.
Love you too, Merlin, man.